Hey everybody. Happy Wednesday afternoon. I just want to start by saying how gosh. It's funny because this stuff isn't in words, but I just feel so blessed to be able to share these Wednesday afternoons with you guys, and I am just amazed at the wisdom and the dedication and devotion that I hear coming out of these speakers on Wednesday from you guys. It's just an amazing thing. I want to say that I am thrilled and want to congratulate Kathy and Ann, and of course Carrie, who will be rejoining us on the member board of trustees. But I'm thrilled that that Kathy and Ann will be joining us there as we go about our mission, whatever that is, right? Just such dedication, such bright lights to be added to this endeavor in that way is really, really exciting. So congratulations, guys, and welcome. Before I begin any teaching or whatever, that's the word that comes out of my mouth here, and teaching what I would learn, I think, is what's going on. But before I start doing that, I'm going to play a song that I actually heard on my well, because it was on my iPod trip back home from Kentucky, but it has stayed with me ever since. So let me play this.
Getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcome.
Getting the message loud and clear. I'm in the right place at the right time. Amen. Of course, that was Daniel Namod. My soul is welcome here. It was fun to read Anne's comments that says, she says, this is the unofficial anthem of our Sunday gatherings here in New Jersey, here in Jersey. The whole place sings every word. I hadn't seen that other comment Anne made. Very fun to look over and see my mom pick up in it too last month. That's very cool. Yeah. Actually, I think it's probably probably is a silly word. It's the perfect song for me today. You know, there was, given this has been playing in my mind for the last couple of days, there wasn't really any question about what to start with. You know, that was just there. I just had to, you know, find it on my computer that contains the same songs as my iPod. I say iPod, it's really an old Zune, but anyway. ramble. It's been a little while since I've been here, like I said when I started, I am really, really thrilled to be back. I'm thrilled to be back home. It was wonderful to go on my visit to Indiana and Kentucky. My little sister got married last weekend. It was a real sweet wedding. She and her husband ended up taking my dad's last name, both of them, which was really cool and seemed like a sweet tribute to Dad. And I stayed with one of my sisters did a lot of running around, did a little relaxing, drank a lot of beer. I drank enough beer to last me for, well, at least a couple months. But you know, you kind of do what the going thing is, right? When it gets to be beer 30, you have a beer, and then you have a beer until you're tired of having beer. So, yeah, I might have brought a little bit of a beer belly home with me. But it's just a very different, you know, and they're doing great stuff there, and you know, and they're all practicing whatever their practices are, my comments are not meant to take anything away from what they're doing, but it's not what I'm used to doing. That's my point. So it was really wonderful to return home and to be in the spaciousness that seems to be allowed here. Certainly hooking back up with you guys on a regular basis is a big part of that. Kathy's bourbon. No, she says she would be bourbon if she drank all that beer. A couple of things happened that I'd like to talk about. I keep hearing this thought in my mind, are you going to pray? So I guess I'm going to pray. Although it sure sounds like ego going, hey, you forgot to pray. And my prayer is to stay in the boundless energy of gratitude that is the truth of who I am. Amen. And really, that's what I want to talk about was so on the trip down there, and it's a 2-day trip. Well, if you do it right, it's a 2-day trip. Stay in Topeka, which is about halfway, so it's about 9 hours a day for 2 days, and I drove down. But what I noticed was this just this, like I was praying about, just this field of gratitude that when the mind was not occupied with thought, was just a natural resting place. And just deep gratitude. And, on the road like that, I just and I'm playing this old playlist, and there's old memories that come in and that sort of thing. But I just really, really felt gratitude for for everything I've ever experienced. As it came into the mind, there was just such gratitude for it. And then, and gratitude for the trees and the sky and the billboards and the human condition, just the whole daggone, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole thing. The response, as I said, was just this depth of gratitude. The whole nine yards. The other thing that I noticed was this, there seems to be more of a consistent movement. So words are hard. This consistent movement towards the resting place. As if, like I say, I noticed this space when I wasn't busy thinking other thoughts, but it didn't feel like a turning towards, okay, now I'm going to be still. It felt to me as a default position. And gosh, the gratitude for that is just incredible. I am grateful for that. I guess I just want to. I didn't journal while I was away. I've journaled a couple days since I got back. I guess what I want to do is just read to you from my journal. So I'll just do that, and we'll see where we go. So I wrote, "Good morning, Father. I'm glad to be back." This was yesterday. "Good morning, Father. I'm glad to be back in a space where it's easier to be quiet and contemplative. I am excited to spend time in this space with you. What, if anything, would you share with me today?" And then we wrote, "Good morning, Jacqueline. You always have a place here with me. I am always available to you, whether or not you recognize the opportunity to commune with me." So let me just backtrack just a second here and talk about, what I began talking about, which is the contrast between the experience here and the experience in Kentucky or Indiana. So after much practice here, that stuff that returning to that resting place on my trip seemed to be a natural occurrence. Unbidden, basically. It felt unbidden. And that occurred while I was visiting family. Again, it was it seems to be an internal reminder that I can stop in the midst of anything. And notice what's occurring right here, right now. Gosh, I'm sorry, guys, I'm scrambling so much, but for words. But it feels even easier here in my home environment. Even family, Kathy says. Anyway, let me just go on and read. I'm always available to you whether or not you recognize the opportunity to commune with me. We too are excited about the blocks that are being removed to your ultimate recognition that nothing need be different. I wrote this after I had a really nice conversation with Tom, my husband, on the phone, where I was trying to describe to him what my experience of late had been. And as you guys know, I have been working with, prior to my departure on this trip, working with what we're all working with, the ideas of surrender, of letting go of self-will. Obviously, of letting go of the character, but really this idea of total allowance. I've been listening to Jeff Foster's book, The Deepest Allowance, I think is the name of it. I also, on the way home, listened to Byron Katie, A Thousand Names for Joy. And before I left, I was greeting worry thoughts and speculations and hopes that things would turn out my way and all of that good stuff with really, that is all part of the script of the character. And none of what seems to be going on there, none of these thoughts about, what could might be, what I'm afraid to be, none of that is any of my business. And so it seemed like, the more I practiced with that, the more that became a natural response to any of those types of thoughts. That seemed to become second nature. I mean, they're the big ones y'all know have been up and down and all around with, trying to get that house sold there in Kentucky and. So some of those thoughts, some of those big thoughts, right? Quantified, even quantifying it seems silly, but some of those I had to look directly in the face and go, look, this really is none of my business. I'm not going to engage in speculation or worry or, I'm going to do whatever seems to be in front of me right this minute. I'm going to take whatever steps seem to be the steps in this unfolding. And some of those are surprising. For example, I just spent more money on that house, and I said, I will not spend any more money on this house. I'm already upset. But those were the steps. It's just like laid right out there in front of you. Just take whatever steps are there, and my opinion about whether more money ought to be spent, or throwing good money after bad, or all of that. It's just those are not my opinions. Those are the opinions of the character. So it actually learning the truth of those statements makes it easier to participate in that practice, even in what seems to be more challenging circumstances. More challenging to who, right? The character. So let me just look again at this journal. So again, the writing says, we too are excited about the blocks that are being removed to your ultimate recognition that nothing need be different. You were correct in your assessment that seeing that nothing need be different is equivalent to letting go of the individual self-will. And that's the recognition that came to me when I was having this discussion with Tom on the phone. Because I was talking about this practice of recognizing that nothing need to be different in any given situation, in any given moment. And I heard Anne talking about this a while ago, these thoughts that go, well, maybe this should be different. Maybe I should be doing something different. Maybe that needs to be cleaned, or then blah, 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 right? So anyway, so I'm telling Tom about the practice of recognizing that nothing needs to be different. And he said, something to the effect of, you get to that place, or it's easier to do that as you give up yourself. And in that moment, I had the recognition that it may very well work that way, but what seems to be occurring for me is that it seems to be working in the opposite direction as well. That by giving up the need for anything to be any different at any time is actually resulting in letting go of the self. So it's just kind of a reverse of that thought, and I've been talking for a long time about, as we all have, about letting go of the individual self and the individual self-will. And all this stuff, I think I know. I think I know. But I'm beginning to have that experience, and that experience seems to be being brought about by this practice of not needing anything to be different, letting go of any notion that I need something to be different now than it is. So anyway, Inner Wisdom says you were correct in your assessment that seeing that nothing need be different is equivalent to letting go of the individual self-will. Continue with me on this path with diligence. It is our pleasure to welcome you back home. You need not worry that your journaling is not a genuine attempt to connect with me. And so this is like I haven't journaled for a week, and now I've got, oh gosh, 2 days from now, I'm going to be teaching this program, teaching again, in quotation air quotes, and I got nothing, right? So let me run in there and journal. And, and so this, so ego's going, funny, the phrase that keeps coming up is, who are you trying to kid, right? All you're trying to do is get material for your program. So that's what this is in response to. You need not worry that your journaling is not a genuine attempt to connect with me. Your willingness to be here now is all that is required to continue on this course with me. Remember that worry is itself the fear that something should be different than it is. Which is a really interesting way of putting it. Worry is itself the fear that something should be different than it is. Remember the connection between forgiveness and the truth. And these are, and I talked a little bit about this in NTI last night. So, any of you who had to endure that and this teaching as well, I apologize for the repetition. But this whole, I cut my teeth, I guess, on A Course in Miracles, and at some point. And really, I think that was the last time I was in Colorado. I think maybe my first my first gathering that I did that I led for Awakening Together was on that topic about forgiveness. And so let me go on. Remember the connection between forgiveness and the truth. As you have stated, forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time. Resting in that understanding is the deepest allowance of everything. And as such, it is the undoing of the individual self. Yeah, so the for me, this first part seems easy. Forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time. As part of teaching A Course in Miracles back in Louisville at Unity of Louisville, I began writing definitions that were a little bit different than the way these concepts are traditionally understood. For me, it was very helpful to use these definitions to go back in preparation to teach, to go back and reread A Course in Miracles with these definitions in mind. It really just made what can sometimes be cumbersome reading in A Course in Miracles become clearer. And so reading A Course in Miracles with that definition of forgiveness was just, it just kind of seemed to make everything open up for me. So forgiveness is knowing that all the time is a familiar concept to me. Inner Wisdom goes on to say, Inner Wisdom goes on to say that resting in that understanding is the deepest allowance of everything. And again, as I said, I've been listening to this Jeff Foster book about the deepest allowance. And there seems, okay, let me try again. Apologize. I can see the thinking mind wants to get this right. So apologies for the intrusion of the thinking mind. But Jester talks about allowing everything That really isn't a movement. That's not a it's not a doing, because the truth of it is everything that appears is already appearing in the truth of our, in the consciousness that you are. So allowing, deeply allowing everything is a is a non-rejection of already here. He doesn't use those words. That's my paraphrase of what he's trying to say, or what he says very well, actually. Anne Blanchard says the loving all method on steroids. Yeah. So let me pick this back up. Yeah, forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time, resting in that understanding, which I think is what I've been, which I think is what I've been doing. Is the practice, and that was a conscious practice that I set about, and the recognition that nothing needs to be different ever. That's the resting in the truth. That's resting in the truth. That is resting in the understanding of forgiveness. Forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time. Resting in that understanding is the deepest allowance of everything. And as such, it is the undoing of the individual self. And Connie and I talked about this again. Connie and I talked about this last night in Growing with NTI. Sorry, I got a couple of screens up here, and it's, yeah. As such, it's the undoing of the individual self. There's some nexus here with the story you guys have heard me tell on multiple occasions, that I had as a result of participating in the Enlightenment Intensive and the dyads that that Anne was talking about earlier. I just got had the experience of myself, life as, an unbound, unlimited flow of, potentiality, right? And that in that experience, I could see that what ego does, the thinking mind does, personal self, call it what you will, it's all the same thing, is that it tries to, I talked about lowering the floodgates on that flow. It tries to, it grasps onto concepts about what it is, concepts about how things ought to be, but every time it clings to an idea, every time I cling to an idea, it attempts to, seeming result of damming that flow, right? Dropping the floodgates and damming the flow, and so that I don't continue to consciously experience myself as that unbound flow. And so, again, the deepest allowance of everything is the undoing of the individual self. So that, I want to think, oh, I'm not hateful, I'm not cruel, I'm not mean, I'm not stupid. I mean, whatever the concepts are. So you got the negative concepts, or, I'm kind, I'm pretty, I'm smart, I'm articulate, I don't know. I got lots of them. All of those things are actually a non-allowance, a rejection of their opposites. I'm pretty, I'm not ugly. I'm smart, I'm not stupid. And so, you know, it's an absolute participation in duality, and it's a stop to the flow, to the conscious awareness of the flow of who I am. Yeah, Cheryl says personhood. So it makes sense how all of this. And again, Connie and I were talking about this last night, how all of this ends up meaning the same thing, you know, that allowance is letting go of self-will, is letting go of personhood, is experience of oneness, is experience of pure consciousness. You know, it's all the same thing, but it's getting it's just getting reworked. And I want to say my understanding, but it's been getting reworked in my experience. It's getting, Anne and Cheryl were talking about, you know, how the brain is being literally being changed through the understanding that, and I think Anne brought it right back home. It's through the direct experience. So having the direct experience informs my understanding of the things that were previously disparate and perhaps even mostly unrelated concepts for me. Let me go on and read here from this journal. It says, "You are also becoming attuned." Hang on one sec. Yeah, our Cheryl says rewired. "You are also becoming attuned to the subtle effects of allowance on the body." The subtle effects of allowance on the body. You are correct to notice the contraction in your throat and in your breathing as correlated with the desire that something be different in whatever form that desire manifests, as fear, as anticipation, as worry, etc. So, yeah, that's really cool. I remember, several years ago, actually about the time that I was doing I think the first gathering for Awakening Together, 5 years ago, I guess. But I remember Tom was working with Eckhart Tolle, and Eckhart Tolle was talking about the subtle body, and I'm like, how in the world can focusing on the body help you understand that you're not the body? So it was a concept I didn't like, a concept that I wanted to reject. But the truth of it is my experience, my direct experience of this practice of allowance, is that there are effects that can be observed within the body. What I'm recognizing, as it's mentioned here, is that whether it's good or bad, whether it's somebody just made a full offer on my house, or there's mold in the basement. My immediate response is felt in the body. And I feel it as a contraction in my throat. I feel it as more difficulty breathing, right? More shallow breaths. And so it's just interesting that that it shows up there. So usually I print my journal out and then read. Cheryl's telling me how to clean the mold. Actually, Cheryl, I've paid somebody to come in and fix the drainage issues around there, and then to do mold remediation. So appreciate the advice. So one sec. Okay, so and it's interesting. So let me just read the sentence again. You are becoming attuned to the subtle effects of allowance on the body. You are correct to notice the contraction in your throat and in your breathing as correlated with the desire that something be different. And again, the point is made here in the forms that in which that desire might manifest. The desire that something be different. That can be fear, that can be anticipation, that can be worry. There's so many ways, both blatant and subtle, that the desire that something be different manifests. So when I am being directed to notice what's going on with my body, with my with these changes in my body, it's I felt that it was it's a nice little red flag. So that if I can feel the contraction in my chest and in my throat, if I can feel that it feels a little bit more difficult to breathe, that directs me to look at how is it that in this moment I am desiring that something be different. And it's just amazing that it shows up in all of these ways, even anticipation, right? I'm anticipating some future moment that that is different than from this moment. I'm anticipating some future moment that will bring me more happiness than I have now. And fear, of course, is just fear or worry is just the reverse of that. I'm worried it won't be the ultimate moment, right? It won't, even if I don't have a specific outcome for a moment or for a circumstance. This fear or worry is the anticipation that at that moment I will need it to be different. So it all seems to be tied in to this idea that there could be a moment or a circumstance or even a thought or a feeling that might need to be different than the way that it is showing, that it could show up, that it might show up. So let me go on to the next sentence here. It says, continue to practice resting in the here and now, and you will continue to find reward for your efforts. that phrase, rest in the here and now, reminds me of the song that we started with. You know, I'm in the right place at the right time, and my soul is welcome here. You know, that is the resting place. Of course, I'm in the right place at the right time. How could it be any different? Kathy says a future problem. Yeah, I'm making up a future problem, needing something to be different in the future, which is just like phew, crazy, right? I mean, absolute insanity. So not only, do I have to worry about what's actually going on right now, let me worry about whether or not this needs to be different. Let me worry about something in the future needs to be different. I mean, just total insanity. So continue to practice resting in the here and now, and you will continue to find reward for your efforts. Of course, that takes us back to the idea of resting in the understanding that all is well all the time, which again is deeply allowing everything just as it shows up. But then I went, wait a minute, rewards? because that's been one of my quote unquote hang-ups, right? Rewards. You're telling me now you're telling me I am going to get rewarded? I'd given that idea up, right? Or was trying to. So let's see how that is addressed. Yes, there is irony here. Let me just read the sentence before that. Continue to practice resting in the here and now, and you will continue to find reward for your efforts. Yes, there is irony here. Reward in this sense is not tied to the ego definition of reward as it has troubled you, which is really the reverse of its true meaning. Rather, it is more like a weight loss regimen where the immediate and long-term effects of the program are directly correlated to the amount of exercise you do and the amount of food that you eat. You are not rewarded with a bonus, not contemplated within terms of the program. Your confusion with the idea of reward is that you once believed that you must earn favor with me. And I got a smile over that. Your confusion with the idea of reward is that you believed that you must earn favor with me. And that would result in a result that would manifest in your outer circumstance, unrelated to the specific action taken. That sounds pretty convoluted. In other words, if you earn my favor, you get what you think you want. We now see that in such a system, where there are rewards, there must also be punishment. There is no separate entity keeping score or meting out rewards and punishment in this way. As we said in NTI, you are the leader in your own awakening, and you wake up in direct correlation to your desire to do so. I do see how that's different. How at one time I thought, okay, if you tell me, and I had this conversation with Regina when she worked with me on a root cause inquiry not too long ago. If I do, okay, tell God, Jesus, inner wisdom, Holy Spirit, whoever you are, if you just tell me the rules, I will follow those rules. I will complete these tasks that you've assigned me to do, and then I will have earned nirvana, entry into heaven, whatever it is. Then you can pat me on my head, say, good job. Okay, now you can come in. The truth of it is that I am welcome here in the perfection of being at all times. Without any requirements. All that's required is that I recognize this. So the perfection of being is constant, whether I recognize it or not. As a constant, there's nothing that has to be done to earn it. I'm only being invited to recognize the constancy of truth, the constancy of the perfection of being. And so it's like, you know, it's like pulling back the blinds or the curtains, right? I seem to be rewarded with sunshine when I pull back the curtains, but the truth is the sunshine was always there, right? It's just that the steps is a terrible word. the recognition that nothing need be different ever, ever. Now, in the past, in the future, nothing ever need be different. That recognition is the mechanism that lets the light in. That's pretty much it. So what I really want to do now is I want to play that song again. So I'm going to do that. That is the mechanism. All right, so here's the song. I mean, I got to start it. Pull the little thing back to start. Here we go.
My soul is welcome here. My soul.
Okay, guys, I love you. I'm thrilled to be here with you. Gosh, I love you so much. So thanks, and I got to go. I've got an appointment I've got to go to. So, Carla, I will miss your teaching. Love you guys. See you next time.